Talk to me, no matter what you feel. Hi, my name is Scott Anderson. You've reached my podcast. First of all, thank you very much for listening. And second of all, this podcast is sponsored by the upcoming book, Danny and the Corporate Ladder. Sometimes in life you meet someone and they seem too good to be true. Over time you realize they really are that good. Always good to have a sponsor. Anyway, welcome to my second December podcast. It's a little colder now than it was last week, which is a little colder than it was a couple weeks before that. We were in the 60s and 70s and actually got up to the 80s in November one day. It has since been in the 50s and lower since then. But, you know, such is life, right? We kind of move through the weather pattern. That is the biggest change probably that we've impacted the planet with, is that, you know, as the planet heats up in some areas and the average temperature on the planet goes up, which is where the misnomer global warming came from. Yes, the world is warming. Yes, the world is ending up being warmer than it was. So truly we are experiencing global warming. We've had the last, the last 3 or 4 years, the average temperature on Earth has gone up. But please remember, that's an average across the entire, 25,000 mile globe that is Earth. So you've got a lot of space and a lot of hot and a lot of cold. 130 in Sahara and minus 20 in Antarctica actually balance out to almost 60 degrees. So when you think about it, you know, there's a lot of hot and cold spots on Earth, and that misnomer global warming unfortunately got people confused about what the impact of climate change really was. It's not about global warming, it's about climate change. The biggest climate change that we're all aware of is the fact that if you look at the Western United States, they're having a massive drought and have had one for several years. That's climate change. That's the rain pattern shifting from the what it used to be. One of the worst years in the drought for the West Coast of the U.S. was 2020. That was the wettest year on the East Coast in the last 100 years. So, you know, that's not a normal distribution of rain. That's not a normal distribution of weather. And that's what climate change really is the abnormal distribution of weather, not the normal ebbing and flowing of weather as it moves around the world. The interesting thing, I've been listening to some interesting science about climate change, and one of the things that I find incredibly interesting is that the idea that climate change causes bigger or more massive storms may not be true. There have been massive storms, apparently fairly regularly over the course of the last 150 to 200 years that they've been able to find by, evaluating locations where previous massive storms had occurred. And taking a look at it, right? Taking a look at the fossil record, as it were, to see, you know, has that happened before? And in many cases, they found not only has it happened before, but it happens on a fairly regular basis. Not as regular as, as irregular as we would like, but more regular than we would like. So this is kind of an interesting sidebar to the argument about climate change. It's easy to take climate change as an argument and argue one small part of it. You'll win every time because one small part at that particular moment may be wrong. Climate change isn't one thing. Climate change is shifting in the weather patterns. That results in rain on the east coast of the U.S. and no rain on the west coast of the U.S. There's been a drought in Honduras and Guatemala for a number of years now. That's devastated a massive part of the world. Of that particular world, right? So that's a shift in the weather pattern. A previously wet area is now dry. So that's the shifting weather patterns that climate change is causing, and we worry about that. The other thing, and I'm looking at a number of interesting realities that we're facing right now. One of the more interesting realities is that as we head into 2023, there are a number of interesting changes that are occurring. Particularly on the technology front, there's a number of things that are becoming real on the technology front that I think are going to be incredibly powerful. One of the things, and obviously I've been talking about it for a while now and chasing it, is the area of robotics, where I think robotics and and artificial intelligence are going to provide us with an opportunity to take a look at a lot of things that we previously didn't have access to. I always, you know, talk about the fact that the cool thing about a rover or a drone or an ROV is it goes places you can't. Or it goes places that you may not want to go because it's not as safe as it could be. And so as you look at it, ultimately, it goes someplace that you ultimately really don't want to go. That is the power of a drone or an ROV or a rover. Rovers are land-based and autonomous, go where you tell them to go. ROVs are tether-based. It's very hard to beam Wi-Fi or Bluetooth underwater, so you use a tether. But you can still tell the ROV to go where you want it to go. And then drones obviously fly in the sky and, you know, zip around and you tell them where to go. So, you know, those are three extensions of humanity that we can use. But, you know, robotics can do a lot more than just, you know, those types of activities. You know, robotics has this capability of, in many cases, replacing humans. And I'm an advocate for replacing humans in any job where the human over time is going to suffer repetitive stress injury. Repetitive stress injuries occur when you do the same job over and over and it begins to tear apart or injure your body. And that's bad, right? When you retire, you really don't have the freedom. You don't have the opportunity to be you know, free and do the things you want to do because you're bound and limited by the injury that you've suffered for 40, 50 years, you know, working at a job. So, you know, any time a robot can replace a human from a job that the human is being injured at, that's a good thing, right? Robots can be designed so that the injury doesn't occur to them, and ultimately they will be more successful in doing that job because they're not going to be bound and limited by physical limitations. But the last part of robotics, and the thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately, is do we place an artificial limit on machine intelligence by assuming that it should look like humans? I keep asking that question. I've gotten a lot of really interesting answers, both on Reddit and a couple of other forums where I post stuff like this. And I'm really struggling with the question because it doesn't have a simple answer. The question, again, is quite simply, are we limiting artificial or machine intelligence by assuming it should look like a human? Obviously, we as humans understand intelligence from our perspective as humans. You know, the great John Boyd, creator of the OODA loop, O-O-D-A, observe, orient, define, or decide, act. And then within each of those systems, there's feedback loops to make things better. But John Boyd always said, you know, the thing, we've got to get to a fast decision, a good fast decision. I wonder if we are getting to a good fast decision by forcing artificial or machine intelligence systems to operate in a human paradigm. My name is Scott Anderson. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I hope you have a wonderful day.